Beloved congregation of the Lord, we know from 1 Kings 17 that there was a sore famine in Israel and in Samaria and in Sidon. And there was great suffering for human beings and for animals. There were hungry children and hungry adults and hungry cattle. But it came to an end. We read in 1 Kings 18, verse 1, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." And from the end of the chapter, verse 45, we know that a heavy rain indeed came, possibly even the same day, although very shortly after this was said. After many days, how many days? Well, according to Jesus in Luke 4 and James in James chapter 5, it was 3.5 years. And 3.5 years is 1,277 days. So since we heard the last time in 1 Kings 17 that Elijah came to Ahab and said, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be rain nor dew these years except at my word." Now it's 3.5 years later. And the Lord said to Elijah, "Go present yourself to Ahab." And he went. And what has happened in the meantime? What's happened between 1 Kings 17 and 1 Kings 18, verse 1? Well, we know what happened. He went to the brook Kereth. The ravens fed him with bread and with meat. And he ended up in Zarephath. The Lord told him, "Go to Zarephath." And there the widow was able to sustain him and her son and herself for a long time, for many days, it says. And then with this morning, we heard that her dead son was raised to life. And there's all these highlights in the life of Elijah. The next one will be the great showdown on Mount Carmel. That comes later on in 1 Kings 18, verse 21. Elijah came to the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal is, then follow him." Maybe the Lord willing, when I come back in December, the Lord willing, we'll look at that. But between Zarephath and Mount Carmel, Elijah meets Obadiah. Obadiah. He's going to be our focus this afternoon. Obadiah, who feared the Lord from his youth. Our text is 1 Kings 18, verses 1 through 16. Let me just read you a part of verse 3 and a part of verse 4. "Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly." And a part of verse 12, pardon me, verse 12. "But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth." So Obadiah feared the Lord. That's the theme. We have two main thoughts, two main points. First of all, the servant of Jehovah. And secondly, the servant of Jehovah. Those are our two main thoughts, and you'll see the difference if you look at the spelling in your bulletin. First then, Obadiah, the servant of Jehovah. Obadiah. What a beautiful name this is, because that's exactly what it means. The servant of Jehovah. And there's 10 men with this name in the Bible, and this one is in a society that's filled with the servants of Baal and Asherah. And yet, we read in verse 3, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And children, when we think of fear, what comes to mind? I know some children who are afraid, who are scared when there's a thunderstorm, or when they hear noises at night. Now, children are not the only ones who are afraid that way. Adults too, we can be fearful of the unknown. Some people have a fear of strangers. I have a fear of really close places. Some people fear punishment. But the fear of the Lord is something different. The fear of the Lord speaks of a tender conscience. It speaks of a tendency to be anxious to please the Lord, to live in reverence before God, to honor the Lord, to love him above all. Yes, it includes a sense of being afraid in this sense, to be afraid to sin, to be afraid of losing the sense of the Lord's presence, to be afraid of the frowns of the Lord God. But that's not all. It is the desire to walk in His ways, to desire His favor, the fear of the Lord. It's a great theme in Scripture. It's mentioned 14 times in the book of Proverbs. And let me just read to you a few of them. Then we get a sense of what this fear of the Lord is. And then when we read a phrase like that, that he feared the Lord greatly, or he feared the Lord from his youth, then we know what that is. Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 8 verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 9 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 14, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 16 verse 6, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And Proverbs 19 verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. If you put all that together, and we ask each other, now, what is the fear of the Lord? What does that look like? Well, it means that you receive knowledge from the Lord and wisdom and a strong confidence and life, spiritual life. And it also means that you begin to hate evil and you begin to depart from evil. And so when it says Obadiah feared the Lord, this is what it means. And he feared the Lord greatly. So he had all this in great measure. He feared the Lord much. What a blessed life, isn't it? We see it from verse 12 where he says of himself, I have feared the Lord from my youth. Put that together. Obadiah feared the Lord greatly from his youth. That means from his early life. Could be from his very childhood. Or maybe in his teenage years he began to fear the Lord. And we're not told who taught him, his parents, his grandparents, maybe a teacher. But what a great blessing. To fear the Lord from your youth, that is God's grace. Maybe he had this all his life and he never knew any different. Was it since he was a little child? Like some of the children here? From his youth. You know, that still happens today. And what an encouragement that is for parents, isn't it? And for office bearers. And oh, for more godly parents who take their children and say, like it says in Psalm 34, come you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Well, by God's grace, Obadiah was like an 8-year-old that's mentioned in the Bible. His name is Josiah. At 8 years old, it says of him, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And maybe he was like young Timothy in the New Testament. Paul says to him, from your childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. His grandmother and his mother taught him the fear of the Lord. And Obadiah feared the Lord from his youth. Does that mean he was never afraid of anyone or anything else? Well, we'll see that a little bit later. But if you fear the Lord from your youth, you will be spared from so much sin. And you will form holy habits when you're very young still. Children, you can ask the older people who are here. What's the best time to begin to fear the Lord? And they will tell you, right now. I found a little poem, and it says this: 'Tis easier work if we begin to serve the Lord betimes, that means on time, but sinners who grow old in sin are hardened in their crimes. So to fear the Lord begins when we are very young and very small. And it means that you know your place before Almighty God. You know, God is God. And I am but a human being. He created me. He made me in His own image. But now He says, I have feared the Lord from my youth. And maybe to some of the older people this afternoon, they can say, you know what, that's true for me too. By God's grace, I can say the same thing today. I fear the Lord today, and I've feared Him since my youth, because when by grace we begin to fear the Lord, we will always fear the Lord. The Holy Spirit says of Obadiah in verse 3, he feared the Lord greatly. In Obadiah's life, that fear of the Lord became evident in his actions, in his reactions, in his interactions with people. We see it in how he relates to wicked Jezebel. Jezebel representing the forces of evil. Verse 4 and 13, for so it was while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them 50 to a cave and had fed them with bread and water. Jezebel is a servant of Baal and a servant of Asherah. She hates Jehovah. She hates his people. She hates his servant. She blames the famine on Elijah and the prophets of Jehovah. So she persecuted them. She massacred them. She was killing the prophets of the Lord. And here's Obadiah, who fears the Lord. He's a servant of Jehovah. He loves Jehovah. He loves God's servants. He shows that love. He pities the persecuted ones. He took them. He hid them. He fed them. He nourished them. He sustained them. He encouraged them. He brought them bread and water, the staples of life, and he risked his life to do it. And so too today, we may serve Jehovah by helping persecuted Christians who are persecuted for their faith, persecuted for naming the name of Christ, simply for reading their Bible and refusing to give it up. And we may serve them too by praying for them and by supporting organizations that assist them, like Voice of the Martyrs, for example. We see the fear of the Lord in how Obadiah relates to his master, Ahab. He worked for the government, Obadiah did. He worked for the king. And Ahab here represents the authorities of the world. So Obadiah was Jehovah's servant among the Baal worshipers in a wicked place. And you see that too in the life of Daniel under Nebuchadnezzar. See it in Joseph, who was the governor of Potiphar's house. Obadiah, it says, is in charge of Ahab's house. And he obeyed his master in all lawful things. These men were in the world, but not of the world. Obadiah and Joseph feared the Lord in wicked places. And yet they had great responsibilities given to them and great trust placed in them. Ahab says to Obadiah in verse 5, go into the land, to all the springs of water, to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive so that we will not have to kill any livestock. And just from that statement, you can sense that Ahab doesn't care about the people of the land. He just cares about keeping his livestock alive. He's just concerned about his own survival. And yet Obadiah didn't compromise his conscience. He didn't run away. He didn't retreat. In fact, in verse 7, he's on his way in obedience to Ahab when he meets Elijah. We see the fear of the Lord in how he reacts to Elijah. What a meeting that would have been, right? Here's Obadiah, whose name means the servant of Jehovah. And he's going to meet the prophet of Jehovah, who means Jehovah is my God. And as Obadiah's on his way, suddenly Elijah met him and he recognized him and fell on his face. And if you wanted to show respect for someone in those days, that's what you do. You fell prostrate on your face on the ground before this person. And that's what Obadiah does to Elijah. He fell flat on his face and he said, is that you, my Lord, Elijah? He recognized him right away. And I'm sure that they met before, for when Elijah stood before King Ahab to announce that there would have been a famine coming, as the one in charge of Ahab's house, Obadiah would have been there. And here he falls on his face. But then we also see something in Obadiah that does not look at all like the fear of the Lord. When Elijah tells Obadiah, go to Ahab and tell him, Elijah is here. Then three times Obadiah says, if I do that, Ahab will kill me. Verse 9, verse 12, verse 14. And what does that show us? He's afraid, he's fearing Ahab. He is afraid of man. This is the fear of man. Why is he so afraid of Ahab? What happened to the fear of the Lord, Obadiah? I see, Obadiah knows Ahab better than anyone else. And he knows Jezebel's hatred. And he knows how ruthless and cruel they are. He saw it with the prophets. They're killing the prophets. And here Obadiah takes his eyes off Jehovah. And all he sees in front of him is ungodly King Ahab. Ahab will kill me, he says, if I tell him that you are here, Elijah. How do I know that you won't disappear again for another 3.5 years when no one will be able to find you? If I tell Ahab that you're here and he comes here and he doesn't find you here, he will kill me. For sure. Obadiah fears Ahab greatly here. Elijah said, verse 15, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. He says basically the same thing he said back in chapter 17. As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand. And he's swearing an oath here in the name of the Lord of hosts. And Obadiah immediately obeys and goes to Ahab. This word of the Lord reassures Obadiah. His fear of Ahab is subdued. And once again we see him walking in the fear of the Lord as the servant of Jehovah. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. And what happens when Ahab meets Elijah? Well, that's something that we hope to look at next time I'm in town. We'll pick it up there. But that's not the end of today's sermon. See, because we cannot stay here with this Old Testament servant of Jehovah. The Obadiah who we meet in 1 Kings 18 died about 3,000 years ago. He can't help us. No one in the Old Testament or in the New Testament ever feared the Lord as the servant of the Lord without God's grace working that fear of the Lord in them. And even then, none of them ever served the Lord perfectly. And no servant of the Lord could save their souls or anyone else's souls. Yes, they could raise dead people to life, but they could not save a single soul. For that, we need another servant of Jehovah, another Obadiah. We read of him in Philippians 2. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of man. That brings us to our second point, the servant of Jehovah, this time with servant with a capital S. He's the one who Isaiah introduces in Isaiah chapter 42, where he writes, the Lord says, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit on him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out. He will not raise his voice. He will not cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice and truth. Who is this person? Who is this servant of Jehovah of the Old Testament? Well, Jesus quotes this Old Testament reference of the servant of Jehovah, and he applies it to himself in Matthew 18, verse 12. Matthew 12, verse 18, that it might be fulfilled. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him. He will declare justice to the Gentiles. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. till he sends forth justice to victory. In his name, the Gentiles will trust. The Old Testament Obadiah, servant of Jehovah, was a nobody without this New Testament servant of Jehovah. Obadiah is just one among many servants. And Jesus says to those servants, you should call yourself an unprofitable servant because you've just done what you were told to do. But the Lord Jesus Christ is a servant like no other. He is the perfect servant. He was obedient even to the point of death. This servant of Jehovah with the capital S, Jesus, the Son of God, takes his church and he hides us from the evil one, not in a cave, but under the shadow of his wings, it says in the Bible. Obadiah in the Old Testament fed the prophets with bread. Christ feeds us with the bread of life. In John 6, he says, the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Obadiah in the Old Testament gave the prophets water in jars. Christ nourishes his church with the water of life. Notice what he says to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of life, springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said, Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst. Have you said that to Jesus? Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst again. Obadiah, servant of the Lord, he fed and he gave water to the prophets of the Lord. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of Jehovah, so feeds and nourishes his church with himself. He is the bread of life. He is the water of life. Obadiah used loaves of bread and jars of water. He hid the prophets in a cave, and because of the perfect work of Christ Jesus, the servant of Jehovah, Obadiah shall receive his reward. It will be a reward of God's grace. Jesus says so in Mark 9, verse 41, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, surely I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This servant of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, always feared the Lord greatly. Did you know that? That Jesus feared the Lord? You read it in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So Jesus Christ, the servant of Jehovah, feared God. In a different sense than the way we fear him, but he knows what godly fear is. And he had to learn obedience, just like Obadiah did. Now the fear of the Lord is a gift from the Lord. The fear of the Lord is commanded to us, Ecclesiastes 12, fear God and keep his commandments, and it's also promised to us in the covenant of grace. Think of Jeremiah 32. I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. It is the Holy Spirit who works in the hearts of young sinners and old sinners who come to God in the way of faith and repentance and often can say only, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. O Lord, my God, help me. And this Holy Spirit works this fear in our hearts. And this dear Holy Spirit is given by God the Father. And you know who He gives Him to? The Bible says very specifically, them who ask Him. In Luke chapter 11, you read that. So such a beautiful statement from the Lord Jesus. Jesus is talking to a crowd of people. And He singles out fathers in that group. And He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Children, if you ask your dad for some bread, is he going to go outside and pick up a stone and give it to you? No. No father would do that. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? A poisonous snake? Of course not. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion who could sting you? And the answer is, well, of course not. And then Jesus says this to these fathers. If you then, being evil, that's what he says we fathers are, evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? See? To those who ask Him. You haven't stopped asking, have you? Father God, give me your Holy Spirit afresh. Give me your Holy Spirit. All our service as the servants of Jehovah comes so far short of the Lord's standards. It's never perfect. It's never enough. It needs to be purified by the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of God. It's His service that we need. His perfect service as the servant of Jehovah. We often forget this. We think of Jesus as the Son of God. He is. And the Son of Man. And He is. And the mediator and the substitute and the Savior. But very rarely do we think of Him as the servant of Jehovah. And yet that's what He came to do. He came to serve His Father and His church. He didn't come to be served. Mark 10 verse 45. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And then it even says what that service was. And to give His life a ransom for many. For many. So the Lord Jesus served Jehovah in all perfection. Not once did He have a single sinful thought. He never spoke a sinful word. He committed no sin. And then He gave His life. His precious blood flowed for sin. And He paid the ransom price for all who will believe in Him. For anyone who trusts Him to be his or her Savior. Yes, Obadiah of the Old Testament is dead. But this Obadiah, this servant of Jehovah, still lives. Though he was dead, he was raised from the dead. I think of little children here. I'm glad there's a few little children here this afternoon. Because it says that Obadiah feared his Lord from his youth. What about you, children? It's never too early to begin to fear the Lord. It can become too late, but it's never too soon. You're never too young. And maybe a little child says, well, I want to fear the Lord and I want to obey the Lord, but how do I do that? You know what Jesus said? That one way to obey the Lord is to obey your parents. Jesus said that, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. That same Jesus said, let the little children come to me. So that means children may come to Jesus for the grace to fear the Lord. But the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please the Lord. So little children may come to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord Jesus for much faith and for grace to fear the Lord greatly. And that's not necessarily little children. That can be teenagers too. Obadiah feared the Lord from his youth. What about you? You're baptized. You're raised in a Christian home. You receive Christian education. You go to catechism class starting next week. Every Lord's Day, you hear the preaching of the Word of God. The question is, do you now fear the Lord, as we've heard it described? Or do you think that's only for very special and very holy and super Christians? You realize, don't you, that Obadiah was a human being just like you, a sinner needing God's grace. Obadiah was plagued with the fear of man, just like you and I are sometimes. No, the Obadiah of the Old Testament was not so special. But the Lord whom he feared is so special. And you know that the Lord Jesus Christ was once a child too, a little child. He had to learn how to walk and talk and read. And he was a teenager. And he was a young adult too. And the Bible says he was tempted in all things like we are. That means when we're going through any kind of temptation, that Jesus knows what we're going through. So we may call on his name and tell him, Lord, I want to serve you. Teach me, O Lord, your way of truth. Lord, I need you to enable me, to make me willing to obey you, because if I'm honest, I'm not always so willing. Lord, please give me the grace of the fear of the Lord. And I think of parents. Obadiah's parents gave him this name, Obadiah. I don't know of anyone today called Obadiah. It's not a very popular name, but perhaps it should be. Servant of Jehovah. It speaks of the faith of those parents, doesn't it? What great hopes they had, what great expectations they had for this child. What a great Jehovah they serve. What great covenant promises they have to plead on. And we have to plead on. The name of Jehovah, of Jesus, the servant of Jehovah. What an awesome, great responsibility to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But remember, parents, whatever name you have given your children makes no difference. You don't plead on their name. You plead on the name of Jesus. You plead on the name of Jehovah. And Christ Jesus the Lord. And then we may expect great things from a great God, a covenant-keeping God. We may expect great things from a great Savior, not from ourselves, not from our children, but from Him alone. And then we can say to our children, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And we may teach our children the fear of the Lord, not only by our words, when it says, listen to me, but also I will teach you by my deeds the fear of the Lord. And there's grandparents here this afternoon. I'm one of them. We are blessed, aren't we, with grandchildren, perhaps great-grandchildren, some among us. Are we God-fearing grandparents? Do our grandchildren ever hear from grandma and grandpa, it is so sweet to fear the Lord and to serve the Lord. There's nothing better in life. Or do they see us fearing man, fearing circumstances, fearing the future? Let us as grandparents too take every opportunity to join with the psalm writer of Psalm 78, telling to the generation to come. That's our children and grandchildren, even great-grandchildren, the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. Believers here, the last time I was here, I mentioned that Elijah's name, my God is Jehovah, is really the name of every believer. Is that not true? My God is Jehovah. But Obadiah is also the name of every believer. We are all the servant of Jehovah. And we all fear the Lord. We are servants because the servant of Jehovah, Christ Jesus, served Jehovah perfectly. And yet he was crucified and died and he was buried and he rose again. We fear the Lord only because we have received the gift of the fear of the Lord by grace alone. So let us now serve the Lord in reverence and in godly fear, out of gratitude for this awesome gift of grace. And all of us who are here this afternoon, whether we're married or single or young or old or parents or widows or widowers, whatever it is, today we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the servant of Jehovah. And no matter how weak your faith may be, or how useless you may feel at times as a Christian, this servant of Jehovah has promised he will not break a bruised reed, nor will he quench a smoldering flax. Those are two very useless things in life, and helpless, hopeless things. He will not break you. He will not quench that little smoldering flax. And he is always gentle and meek. And his mercy is everlasting. I'll close with Luke 1 verse 50 where it says, "And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." What a faithful, covenant-keeping God we serve. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God Almighty, we thank you, O Lord, that we may read in the Bible not only of an Obadiah, a human servant of the Lord, but especially of the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of the Lord with a capital S. Lord, we place our hope and our expectation in Him alone, not in ourselves, not in what we do or do not do, not in our children, but in Him alone. And yet, Lord, we were encouraged this afternoon to hear of a young man who could say, "I have feared the Lord from my youth," and we pray that it may echo in this church from the children and the teenagers here too. We know, O Lord, it is a gift from God. We know it is by the grace of God alone that we may serve the Lord. What a privilege it is. What a blessing. How amazing is this, that your mercy is on those who fear you from generation to generation. And Lord, as parents and grandparents, we are encouraged in our faithful covenant-keeping God. And we pray, O Lord, that you would gladden us with your deeds, that we may see more and more evidence in ourselves and in our children and in our grandchildren of that fear of the Lord. And we may hear it in the way they speak. We may see it in the way they behave. We may hear it in the way they pray. Oh Lord, help us in all things to be God-fearing families and a God-fearing church family. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and it tends to life. Lord, bless us when we leave here. We pray that we may arrive home safely and that we may see each other again in the future. Might it be in good health, especially good spiritual health. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.